Hey everyone, it's Ross. The following is an actual play of Castles and Crusades by Trollord Games. We welcome you to sit in with us. As with all of our actual plays, this isn't a performance. It's just a group of friends playing folk RPGs the way we do it. However your table does it is the right way. Some audio and editing has been done for your enjoyment. We hope you enjoy the adventure. You have become lost in a moment when a feeling of jealousy intersected with tripping on a limb under a moonlight, or as you laughed, a dewdrop fell from a nearby bough into your eyes. A moment or feeling of uncertainty. Whatever it was, you raise your head to find yourself in a vast wilderness. This is not where you were before. You have no way home. It is filled with monsters, ruins, and secrets. In time, you find the last vestige of civilization. Its inhabitants, mostly others, who've also become lost here in this wild place. Your talents were recognized. Now you are an adventurer of Perrinval. It is up to you to defend and help the people of this dream world. To attain treasures, secrets, defeat the horrors that have lain dormant in the shadows until you awoke them with your arrival. These are the stories of that kingdom and its people, of heroes and of villains, and of magic. Welcome to the Vale. In the day before days, the Allfather married the Grassmother, and together they had the Shadow Child. And in those days, the Allfather's plans were not known. For an entire age, the Allfather made a place of beauty and serenity, and he gave this first age as a gift to his wife. But the Shadow Child delighted in change, and he saw the flaws in all things, and he sowed a doubt in his mother's mind, for he said that he had been wronged. For in the first age, he said, "My father has given no gift to me, and I have no place in it." And the grass mother wept, and something became wrong with the tears, and they fell across time, and they were green. But they also had something wrong inside the greenness, and she knew evil. At times in the Vale, the dark tears fall, and this is what is called the shadow of the green sky by the elves of that place. So, you have all, as I said, been traveling to the Eastern Vale on some mission of great importance for the kingdom of Perrinval. And during your journey, you were cut off, and it is as if the forests east of the kingdom closed in around you, behind you, on your journey, and they became impassable. And at some point in your journey, you top the rise of a hill, and the sky around you takes on a green, eerie tint. And it's something that it seems to follow you for days. The heavens are virtually bathed in shades of green. But after some time on your journey, you can see beneath you, about 200 feet down the ridgeline, there's a group of people that you encounter. And they're all huddled beneath the walls and ruins of an old keep. They're bedraggled, worn-looking. They have few belongings left. They seem extremely distressed. They're weeping children, a mad scramble of men and women desperately repairing the walls. It's obvious to you that this keep has not been in use in generations, but strangely, it's as if they're trying to keep something out. And in the distance, only maybe a mile or so away, is the pall of smoke that's hanging over what is clearly the burning ruins of a village. Now, you are all adventurers of Perrinval, and you're bound by an oath. And so, though you're traveling on toward an adventure of great importance, when you come among these desperate common folk, you come into an agreement with them. And bound by this oath, you agree to help them. And they have said that they fled their village because it was something happened to the elders. And the village was destroyed by some horrible monster. And so you have agreed to travel to that village and either slay the monster or bring back everyone alive who had barricaded themselves in and had not fled. And for this, they will give you the remaining coin of all their people, which is 100 gold. And in this world, 100 gold is like $100,000. It's quite a bit of money. So, before you depart on this this adventure to either slay this monster or help evacuate who remains, what preparations would you like to make among these village folk?
I will ask around and ask for more information both on the people who are supposed to bring back and the creature that caused this trouble to begin with.
Okay. So, as far as the people to bring back, there is a woman you speak to, and she says that the biggest thing is that one of the village elders has remained behind. He refused to leave. And had tried to barricade the survivors in the town hall. And the town hall is directly in the center of the village. His name is Kale. And she fears that those that stayed behind with the elder Kale, she hopes that they're still alive, that they can't possibly have much time left for the monster that they have encountered. Now, she also tells you that one of the elders started to transform days ago when the skies turned green, and that his face bled into a single eye, and that his bones cracked and lengthened until he became some towering monster. And that was what first troubled the village. But when you ask around, everyone has different accounts of the monster that actually destroyed the village. And some say the monster had multiple limbs as if a spider that it would use to strike and devour. Some say that it used witchcraft and sorcery to muddle the minds of those that it would encounter, and then it would devour them. Others say that it was like a thing that had been left behind in a barnyard, like the afterbirth of an animal. It was this disgusting pile of an amalgam of flesh and rot. And so everybody seems to have these wild depictions of this thing that are all different. All right, what about Kever? What do you do?
Right off, I would say this sounds like maybe it's an illusion that we're dealing with. If everyone has a different interpretation of the events. I would say let's keep that in mind going forward. As far as the equipment, I'm ready to go.
Alrighty. Tog, is there anything that you want to do among these village people before you leave?
I'm probably gonna just, is it, so, just gonna ask around, like, they say that's, town hall, and maybe there is, who he wants, Doug is gonna ask. Maybe there is like some kind of other entrances into the like maybe there is underground like some kind of entrance into the town hall. You know, maybe some or something like that. Did anyone hear?
You ask around for a while, and no one seems to know of any other entrance. There's no sewer. There is a well in town, but it is shallow and it leads nowhere except into the rocky well water below in the cistern. And a child speaks up. A precocious child. Who is his mother tries to keep him from speaking. He's like, I know a way into the town hall. I've been there many times. Sometimes with the town festivals, they string strings of lights and banners across the buildings. And the town hall is two stories. And me and the lads, we'll shimmy across and we make it into the second floor. And of course, his mother's like, just stop. Let them do their job, Henry. Oh. Quiet.
Yeah, Doug is gonna. Oh, don't worry. Just let the child speak. You know, those children usually know how to get around.
All right. What about Gladmood?
I imagine Gladmood's there as well, and it's just like, I don't understand why you don't. It doesn't make any sense to me why you'd have a building first off above ground, second off not have a second way in that's not below the ground. I mean, if there's ever any lesson that you should get off of any of this, you people, it's that you gotta make tunnels. You start with the tunnels.
And that's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. That's exactly what I mean.
And now what are we gonna do? We're gonna climb across a rope off the ground like a bird?
What
I don't understand is you say that some people are saying that this thing is was one of the elders, that the bones cracked. I mean, is that the story that everyone's telling, or is that just part of, is this being, were they an elder?
Among the people near the child where you overhear this conversation with Tog here, they sort of shrug and they look at each other, and many of the people here say that the monster must have been able to ignite things in fire, for something had ignited one of the buildings and the flames before the rains came leapt across from building to building and burned the village. And of course, it's only about a mile away. You can see the smoke rising from the village. And many of them said, we never saw the monster. And another child being willing to speak freely and use their imagination says that I heard that the monster can come under doors and in cracks in doors and in walls, and it goes through pipes and windows, and it would come in and eat everyone. And of course the adults are just like horrified by this, and they're like, be quiet, stop, because they're just using their imagination. But when you ask the adults, it does seem like they all have different accounts. Now, Gladmood, in the time that you have left, some of the, it seems like leaders of this band of refugees take you to the ruined keep, where they ask you to help them understand how to fortify the underground undercroft of the old keep. And so you're able to, yeah.
I would gladly help them do that with the time that we have left.
All right. Torgar, is there anything that you want to do among the refugees before you depart?
I'll tell him who's man enough to come with us and slay the beast.
Nice. All right. That is going to be a very difficult. It's going to be based on the monster. So it's going to be... Let me see here.
I'm perfectly sure that one of the children, yeah, I'm gonna agree to it.
Yeah, right. That'd be awesome.
All right. So you have to make a challenge class 23 roll for charisma. to find people that are willing to go back and fight.
Ooh, I don't think I can... Yeah, no.
Yeah, definitely not. In fact, they tell you, you gain some more information this way, because they tell you that when they fled, so there's this account of this thing where its face devoured its eye, and then it lengthened and turned into this massive monster, and it had torn down buildings and smashed people. And some say that they saw their relatives die to this thing. Others say there was something that got in among the buildings. And the accounts of what it's like are different from person to person. Some of the villagers stayed behind, which is what they're paying you to go either evacuate them or kill the monsters. But in their flight, they say that many others died, in fact. And they barely survived. And nearly two-thirds of their village have perished, as far as they know. Of the 200 left, there were like 600 villagers initially in this fairly wealthy freehold. And they say that the river is perilous to cross. And that they even saw... So there are two safe passages across the river. And the overgrown path that had long... There were rumors in town that you should never go to the overgrown place on the river. And they never allow their children to go there. But some decided to try to cross the river there. And those people were never seen again. All right. So... unless there are any other urgent preparations, the time comes that if you are to try to save anyone that might be left in that place, that you'll have to act now. All right.
Yeah. Let's suit up.
Yep. I guess we're ready.
Other than the green painted skies, it is otherwise a beautiful fall day. And the forests of this place have a gentle, when the leaves fall and things begin to change here, it is especially green, never mind the skies. The lands of the Vale themselves are green. So where you might be used to an autumn where things sort of, as they wilt in the autumn, they become a vibrant orange, here they become shades of green. The whole thing makes a canvas of overwhelming green to the eye, both sky and ground, and falling leaves and floating things of autumn. And you come to the river, and the river has a, maybe I should scribble this. There's I'll describe and scribble here. There's a, of course I'm going to use green. Bright green. So there's a, there's like a big waterfall, okay? And that area is impassable. If you were to try to go around the waterfall, it would probably take you several days of travel. And anyone who's being attacked by a monster, like, you need to get there within the next couple of hours, as sunset is coming now. Otherwise, anything under threat, there's no way it would survive. And then you have, like, the actual current of the river below the waterfall. And it is very dangerous on either side. There's a lot of rapids, and near the waterfall is very rocky. If you were to try to cross closer to the waterfall, it could prove fatal because of the rocks and eddies and currents. And then the rapids continue. There are two crossings. There's a main crossing, which you can see is open. And beyond the treetops, you can hear a and the ground slightly shake as something moves. And then the shaking stops, and you hear this low rhythmic grumbling, like a like, you know, one just rhythmic and constant. And then there is a overgrown area where you're not exactly able to see, but it's sort of like boggish, and There are reeds sticking up and it's overgrown. You can tell that long ago, in the days of the Old Kingdom, that path probably would have been one of the main road paths, but it's since become far overgrown. What do you do?
I'd like to suggest we take the overgrown path across. Even though it might be more dangerous, it would hide our egress.
Yeah. Or we can, like, if there is any like maybe tree nearby, we can just, you know, like cut it down and then make a crossing if it's possible as well. That's a possibility, I guess.
I'll go ahead.
They said there was a crossing where it was overgrown, but people took that route and never came back. I'm not sure if we want to do that, or maybe the thing that's been attacking the villages down there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it makes me curious.
Well, that's what you get when, you know, nature, water, everything, you know, like everything green. Why we're here, you know, you don't have this kind of problem underground.
Well, usually, I imagine I've got I'm sort of hunched under my big blanket as well, and I imagine for a dwarf that the sky is like this massive cave. Maybe he's complained about this. Like, it's like a ceiling's too high. It's foreboding. It's got to be down lower. And I think whenever he's out, especially when it's daytime, he kind of is like, looks up like it's, he doesn't like this kind of being up like this.
Yeah. Talk is going to come out. Why is everything green? I mean, it's better here for those blasted elves, for sure. Yeah.
Blue skies and white clouds is bad enough.
Yeah. Now it's green everything. Jesus.
Who is Jesus? No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry about that. Anyway.
So, and don't answer that
short
question.
Short father. Short father.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've got a couple of proposals here. One is that, like, all right, let's chop down a tree and use it to actually, like, let's do some dwarven construction and overcome the power of the current as dwarves do by simply overcoming the physical world through wit and construction. Another option that would be to take the path that looks overgrown and untended, that cannot be seen fully from where you are. So what do you think, Torgar?
I like the idea of brute forcing the crossing of the river.
Okay, with the tree. What do you think, yes. Or Inon?
I think we should either cut down the tree or go through the untended patch.
All right. One of you has an axe. Does anybody else?
Who has the axe?
I have a hatchet.
All right. Okay, so it's let me compare it to the river. Let me look at it here. All right. In order to do this within an amount of time, so you're going to start doing this, you're going to know pretty soon if the effort is futile or sun will set and you'll be within darkness and you'll have no hope of making it in time. It's all a matter of can the dwarves and the barbarian and others, can you fail a tree fast enough? For if you have the right tree, this will be easily overcome. So, who has the axe? It's Torgar. Torgar, you will need to pass a... I'll do the math again. 23. It is a 23 challenge level check of strength. And actually, I will reduce that to 20 because you have somebody with a hatchet and some dwarves.
Would I be able to help push down the tree with my great strength?
Yeah, so I'll lower it down to 20. Everybody's helping. You got, you know, dwarves. You've got resourceful people, so the Torgar will have to roll a 20. Or not roll a 20, but you have to meet or exceed a 20 on strength.
Somebody's helping me with a hatchet. What bonus do I get from that?
So I just included it in the challenge level. So.
Okay. All right then. Let's bring him down.
Let's do it.
A nat 20.
Whoa.
With the strength and the talent, you all are like elite fighters. So you don't want to mess around. You want to get there fast. And with the dwarves, you're able to fell this thing within minutes. Just chat, 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 chat. And you, within a few strikes, you see Torgar with like three strokes of his axe. He's able to get this thing down to be a whittle. And then Omrinnan, you're able to just push over the remains as it just tumbles over across the river. Now, let me make a check of my own.
While you're doing that, I think Gladmut is shouting at everybody, not doing anything except just saying, "No, no, no, not all the way there. He's going to fall the tree. Oh, he hit us the wrong way there." And he's just shouting at everyone, telling him what to do, and probably not giving useful information.
All right. The tree falls, and you're absolutely certain that you can cross the rapids, an otherwise impassable area of the river, without problem. You cross over to the other side. And you can see that the burning village is just nearby. Sunset has come, and it's beginning to get dark outside. If anyone is left alive, you probably only have moments. You smell burning wood, burning oil, the materials, the daub of houses burning. You also smell something that's like burning meat. And then you hear on the other side of the river that rhythmic, like that rhythmic, like rumbling sound. When the tree falls, it stops for a while. And then it resumes.
Yeah, Tog is gonna like, "Do you hear it? Don't you think it's kind of maybe a giant or a nogger or something like that?"
Let's check it out then.
Worth investigating.
You're gonna go check out the noise?
I think we should get to the village as soon as we can. These people are all going to be dead.
Yeah, I might have to double down.
All right.
Is it on the way to the village, or is this like kind of one or the other?
Yeah, it's down the river. So you went up to the falls. Away from where the crossing is, the main crossing.
But our first priority is to get these people, right? It's getting dark, so.
Well, I was just suggested if it's a giant, you know, we should somehow prepare. I'm just saying.
Well, I know where your mind is, friend. Your mind is stealing whatever it's got. And I do like your company, but sometimes I think your choices are flawed, to be honest.
Indeed.
Well, that's your opinion.
It is, and I'll share it whenever I feel it's valid.
Gentlemen, we're not here to fight each other. We should get to the village as soon as possible.
Indeed, we cannot let them starve to death in the dark. Come.
All right. So, It's not hard. It's only, you know, less than a mile away at this point. You can clearly see the village. This is a village that, before these events befell it, would have been a sprawling free town without an immediate lord that has succeeded in its marble mines and marble trade. These were a people that were doing well. Now, the pall of smoke hangs in the air. And you stand just before ruins of burnt buildings. Dozens of these wrecks stand. Some of them have already fallen in on themselves from the fire. Their naked walls are blackened and open to the skies. There are burnt beams at odd angles amongst the wreckage, windows gaping wide, revealing hollow interiors held together by the silence of their own collapse. And among the small wisps of smoke that snake their way into the clear air above, you can see how hot and long the fires have burned. After the blackened husks, there is a lonely structure that is in the town square. And perhaps it is because of this town square, the open ground between them, that it has been spared. It is only possible that that is the town hall. It is one of the last remaining structures in town that haven't burned from the flames leaping from building to building. It looms down at you. It's two stories tall. And other than the core of this town, the rest of it has nearly completely burned down. You can hear strange groaning sounds coming from the town hall, combined and echoing with the sounds of screams.
People are in danger. Let's go.
There's no time to waste.
You approach the town hall?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Straight ahead.
I'm just you know, there is a suggestion, you know, how about maybe we just check it out first, maybe climb up something tall and then see what's happening there. I mean, or just, you know, be careful about it and don't just rush into the danger.
People are screaming, friend. People are, can you not hear the noises?
Could be a trap, though.
Well, you know what? Nothing gonna help them if we're gonna end up dead. I'm just saying.
Let's surround the building. That way, if it is a trap, we can prong attack our opponents.
Well, if it's a trap, I'll be the one to spring it, and I'll just start marching. I pull up my Morning Star, and touch my holy symbol, which is these two interlocking rings, and. Look down at the earth and say, mumble something, and just start walking straight ahead. You do what you need to.
So let me make sure I understand the plan. I think Ingrok may have died on me. I think this will be the last time I get to use Ingrok, sadly. If your VTT dies, we're just going to switch to Theater of the Mind. So I'll try to describe what you see. So, okay, I'm hearing that you are going to try to surround the building. Is that right?
That was suggested. I think I'm with Gladmood. I think I'm gonna be on his six and approach directly.
Okay.
So it may probably be that we're going.
Go ahead. You know, so probably not the smartest move. There's probably a better, you know, but I think that the more direct thing to do right now is to get to the building and try to save these people.
Right. But I also think it's cool if other people are, like, skirting around. That might be helpful that we all don't go the same way.
Yeah, precisely.
So, sounds like...
Well, my way is going to be, like, you know, trying to creep up, like, silently, you know, and just, you know, nobody notice me. Like, I'm not just rushing into the danger like an idiot. Sorry about that.
So, it's Gladmood and who else?
Kever.
Okay, so let me swap those out. Nostromo, what are you doing?
I'll accompany the person that goes first.
Okay, gotcha. So I'll move you up there, and then all right. So you all are going straight up to the front door. And then it sounds like two of you are sneaking. Now, in case Ingrok dies or the VTT or whatever, just I'll describe it. It's a two-story building. There's streamers and lines from a previous celebration, as the child had mentioned, that are going from lower buildings nearby across the open gaps. And then, of course, you have the left, you know, facing the front of the building. You can go to the left or the right. It's a fairly large, you know, 1,500... 1,700 square foot building. So, the two people sneaking, do you stay together or do you go to opposite sides? Or, you know, starting with Om, what do you do?
I mean, we can be together.
All right.
Yes, I'll be. I've got my golden taunt, which is different from our warrior name with a similar name, out, and I'll be approaching the front. And regrettably, the VGT has also bunged up for me.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back on, and it's not working.
Yeah, you won't be able to. Yeah, so we'll just switch to Theater of the Mind. Okay, so I'm sorry. So you said that you were sneaking around the side of the building.
No, I'm going to the front door with him.
Everybody's going to the front door, except, all right, so what about Tog? And you said you were going to try to sneak. Which way do you sneak? Left, right? Where do you go?
I mean, I'm just going to be like, I'm going to accompany everyone, but just, you know, behind. I'm not going to go, like, okay. You know, close. I'm going to be just in the, like, hiding or something like that. Hidden, that is, like, so gotcha. I'm not just... Because if everyone just goes straight, you know, like, why
sure.
Do you...
Yeah, you're confident that you're hidden as well as you can be. Meanwhile, Kever and Gladmood, you approach the front door of the building. The windows are smashed in. Glass is shattered around you. This building doesn't look like it's experienced the flames that have leapt from building to building here. You've got two smashed windows and then a set of double doors. They're very finely wrought. They're very finely made. An expert craftsman made these doors. They have like pretty like patterns and stuff that have been carved into it, and they look very old. They are closed. So you've got two smashed windows in the front of the building and a set of double doors. Gladmood, what do you do?
So we've crossed the space between we're right in front of the building now.
Yeah.
First off, I'm looking side to side. Is there any sign of anything?
Looks like somebody opened the door. Here, I'm gonna close the door. Let me actually lock
sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm gonna lock these doors. I'm sorry, Jay. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll walk up to one of the smashed windows and say hello.
Okay.
Hello, rescuers, come.
Is everyone all right?
All right, you walk up to the window.
I'm definitely keeping an eye to the sides as well. Like, there's something wandering around this village somewhere that might come. Maybe the thing that we heard breathing back there. So I feel like the enemy is in the village and not in the building. We gotta move.
Let's see. Okay. Make a wisdom save as you look into the window. Now, the rest of you see Gladmood appear into the window and say these things.
Okay, so I rolled a 6 plus 6 for wisdom. That's a 12 plus 3. So that's a 15. So I failed.
All right. Something seizes Gladmood. All of a sudden, you see him just freeze in place, stunned, as if he's frozen, glaring, his eyes unusually wide open, like, and then just looking into the window. After he does that, what do you do when you see this? I gotta write your names down now that I don't have the UTT to reference. I got Om, Kever, Tog, Gladmood, and Torgar. What do you do, Torgar? You see him freeze like that. Look after he looks into the window.
I'm gonna run at him and drag him back forcefully.
Okay, yeah, you do that, and you drag him back away from that place. let's see, right there. What do you do, Tog, while that's happening?
Can I shoot into the window? You know, like, something happened, so, yeah, you know, like, yeah. Something weird happened. I just gonna, like, you know, shoot it. That's
sure.
It.
Yeah, you shoot into the window. Now, I'm going to give it a -4, so you got some math to do, but roll to hit, but with all your bonuses, -4.
Okay, I'm going to just throw the D20 and that the bonuses, that's it. And that -4, so it's 21.
21. What are you firing? Like a bow?
No, I have a crossbow.
Crossbow. You put it into the window and you fire the crossbow and you hear first human screams, but then the screams turn. The pitch turns at the end of the scream, so you hear like a and then at the end of the scream, and there's like three or four of them, and you hear a wet plop as the crossbow bolt splashes into something, and you hear these screams, and then all four screams, like, it's like they come together in one wavelength and warble at the end, and you hear a like that as all the screams turn into one thing, and then you hear a wet slapping noises as something is coming closer to the door.
Omren is going to take out one of his flasks of oil and use his tinderbox to get that ready for ignition.
Okay, you're gonna have that ready. You will get a surprise around, but at this point, the doors get ripped open, and something rips its way out of the front of the building. It's not gonna fit actually out of the front of the building. But it basically rips the wall down in front of you. And it makes these wet slapping noises, and it sounds like bones and flesh cracking and ripping as it moves. Every time it moves, it makes these noises. And you all can roll for initiative.
Am I paralyzed in some way?
You are paralyzed in some way.
Okay. Geez, I'm 2 for 2 on being paralyzed. And
you're very brave. So
just jump it in, yeah. Might as well, right?
Because my VGT is down, would you be bothered if I just rolled in bot commands?
Oh, absolutely. You could do that. And if you could do me a favor and just let me know what you get. Looks like some people are still in the VTT. If you're not, go ahead and just roll a D10, either physical or use a dice roller or use Discord, please. And
Is initiative modified by agility?
No, it's just a D10.
All right.
So all roll right. D10.
One D10 coming right up. Holy mama, I'm very glad I had that bot command, so I have proof. I rolled a 10.
Nice. Okay, so we got Om at the top of the round.
6.
I've got a 9.
Torgar got a 6.
Kever has got
Kever's
a 9.
Got a 9. Tog?
6.
Alright. That is... Tog got a 6 as well. And then Gladmood.
Oh, I didn't roll because I was paralyzed, but I will roll. I got a 6 as well.
6 as well, okay. Glad mood. And then the monster, mercifully, got a 4. Okay, so so first thing is you get a surprise round, so you can chuck your flask. You can roll to hit to chuck the flask.
With pleasure. I roll to hit will be +3, so wish me luck. And I assume that's dexterity?
Yeah, dexterity, and then if it's a prime stat, +6, plus your level.
Alright,
plus your attack bonus.
Well, my attack bonus altogether is, bonus hit is +2, modifier is +1, and then level as well, nice.
Yeah, just chuck a 20 though. You might get a nat 20. We'll see.
All right, 4 add on 7. That's still gonna miss.
Okay. Let's see. Now that was a surprise round. You can attack again or do another move if you want.
Well, what's coming out of there? What did I just throw at?
That's right. You can't see the VTT. Let me describe. So all of a sudden, the front of the building bursts open as if a womb. It's just some births this disgusting pile of a combination of the various inside fluids of various creatures. It looks like a blisters of pus and flesh, all swimming underneath. These blisters of flesh and pus are floating eyeballs and mouths that sometimes try to escape from the membranes. This thing is covered in mouths, and tentacular inhuman tongues flip out of the mouths in places, bursting the blisters. This thing is probably 15 feet wide and probably, 6 feet tall.
Are you sure playing Castle of Crusade, not Lamentations? Alright, since, nothing ventured, nothing gained, Omrem's gonna take his golden tongue, walk on over, and slice that thing in.
You walk right on over and slice. Roll to hit.
Yep. And I just want to make sure I got this right. Prime attribute strength, plus one modifier, plus two bonus to hit.
Just roll a 20. Okay. And then we'll see.
Alright. Ooh, that might hit, actually.
Yeah, what'd you get?
I rolled a 5.
Okay, yeah, it might hit.
Prime strength, so 12. So, plus 1 bonus, plus 3 to hit, that's 8. And then, add on my level is 3, that's still 11.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe write all that math down between your turns here. But unfortunately, yes. You, describe your weapon.
This is the first time I've ever heard of the weapon. It's a big 10-foot polearm.
Okay, gotcha. Well, you take it and you jab it into this pool of inside fluids that are all bound together. It also looks like chunks of limbs and bones have been fused together within this mass, and you burst one of these pus pimples. And it explodes, but then you pull your pole arm out, and it seems to just like swim together and form back together. It seems to, you haven't done enough pain to this thing for it to matter. And we're on to Kever.
Oh boy. Well, it doesn't look like physical attacks are going to do much, but I'm going to take one anyway, just because I'm right there, and I'll just to confirm. I suppose I'm going to try to attack it with my boar spear.
All right.
This is really just to confirm whether or not we're doing anything to it. So, here we go.
I'm betting that hits. It does hit. So, all right. You strike in with your boar spear. Just as like one of these pimples is burst open by Om, and you come in with your boar spear as it's starting to reform, and you stab deep down into it. It goes halfway down your spear, and you have to like get onto both feet and pull it back out. And you hear a screech from this monster as it's hurt roll for damage.
All right, that's D8 plus 3.
And you guys, you can always, if you're doing an attack, just roll a d20 plus your damage. And if it doesn't damage, hey, you know what. You got any bonuses?
That's plus 3.
Plus 3, so an 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can actually see that this place is now, this monster is ripped open in part of it now. Tog, what do you do?
I'm going to try to shoot... I'm gonna try to aim at the same place where it was ripped open. I'm gonna take my crossbow and I'm gonna try to shoot in that place.
All right.
Okay. Let me see how it's gonna go.
Nice. I'm betting that.
Oh,
hits.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can always just roll your 20 and your damage. And then if you don't get to do the damage, whatever.
So do you get like a modifier if you have a dexterity to your?
No, not for a mechanical damage? Weapon.
Yeah. Okay. Just 1d6.
Oh.
yeah. Well.
All right. Yeah, you fire into it, and what happens is the bolt, it goes in this big gaping wound, and it seems to just disappear inside of this cavernous, cavity of this creature.
Yeah.
Torgar.
I'm gonna tap into my primal instinct to get a +4 on physical actions.
Okay.
And I'm going to charge at it.
Oh, nice. A charge. You got it. Roll to hit.
Rip and tear, man.
How much is this? 27.
27. And it's not an at 20, right?
No.
Okay. You hit. Roll for damage and your +2 damage, too.
And damage is modified by strength?
That is right. Yeah, you'll add your strength bonus.
14.
14. Okay. Describe how you, like, I can't imagine any other way except for in the opening that they formed. You just, like, leap inside of the opening, maybe, and rip out the other end? Or you, like, do the anime thing and just hack it down the middle with your axe? I don't know. You tell me.
No, right in the opening. I jump and I just start slashing.
You do that, this thing stops making noises and it starts to evaporate. Unfortunately, you feel the ground shaking, a familiar sound that it was making before. And
can we discern from where it's coming, like the direction?
Yeah, it's coming from behind you, from the direction of the river.
I told you there was supposed to be some kind of ogre or a giant for sure. Maybe we should go inside the town hall and see if anyone survived.
Unlikely, but we owe it to them. Yes, I just hope we've not been followed this time.
All right, I'm gonna regroup you all, and then I'll put you in there. You go inside of the town hall to check and see if there's anybody inside. You hear yelling, mumbling from upstairs.
Am I still paralyzed out in the?
You wake up. Area? Yeah.
Okay.
You wake up.
What was I paralyzed from? What was the fear or?
Yeah, when you looked at this thing, it had some kind of otherworldly effect on you, and you felt you were stunned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, just my foundry. No, crashed as well. I tried to. I thought like I'm gonna. Anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah, so I'm gonna be rolling in Discord as well.
Okay. All right. So you hear at least one plaintive voice. You all rush upstairs to hear it, and you find a man cowering on the second floor of this building. And then, just as you see him, unfortunately, the ground shaking grows louder as and you can hear groaning, and you see some huge thing outside the windows of the building. It is a humanoid, towers 10 feet tall. It has huge muscles and one eye. The eye looks as if it has erupted from a wound to the center of its face. And a large upside down triangular mouth, like a frowning jowl with teeth that jut off, you know, kind of randomly in different directions.
It looks like a cyclops.
It does. Oh, I hate these things. They eat dwarves. eat my grandmother.
Oh no!
And I'm already running down the stairs with my Morningstar out.
Probably your grandmother just tried to leave the underground. That's why it's hated. You should always stay underground.
Well, it's too late now, isn't it? And I say as I'm running down the stairs.
All right, you leave the bedraggled man hidden behind a pile of furniture. Jay, that is Gladmood. You rush back downstairs, making it into the foyer that has been burst open. It's almost like it's been ripped outward, you know, and you've got the remains of the wood that's ripped out each side, and you rush out from that destruction into the open where this 10-foot-tall thing towers over you, and when you get to it, it just roars, you know, down in your face. Wads of spittle fly, you know, and hit onto your shoulder and the walls around you from its mouth.
I'm just running with I have my Morningstar in both hands, and I'm running under it. I feel like this is kind of the natural enemy. I mean, we have, dwarves have +4 armor class against giants and ogres.
Nice.
So this is what we do.
we try to eat us. It's my speciality.
Exactly. And I duck under and I try to get under his head, and then I smash at one of his shins with my Morningstar.
All right. Roll a dexterity check to see if for surprise, to see if this dwarf charging toward it surprises. You can also charge if you want. It is surprised.
A 19. Yeah.
So this is a free round of combat. I'll get back to everybody else in a second. In the meantime, I'd like to just keep the same initiative, if that's okay. It benefits you all. It doesn't change anything. Okay. Yeah, rolled a hit.
Yeah, I've got +10. So that is a 20.
A 20. Let's see here. Here it is. A 20 hits.
Nice. Okay. Oops, I didn't roll my damage. So I do 8 max damage. Right in the shin.
Yeah, you slice open and a gout of blood flies off past you as you run through its legs and slice open one of its shins. It howls in pain. That was your surprise round.
My grandmother. You son of a bitch.
Nice.
Yeah. Back
is
to
anyone
the...
else can hit her?
Yeah, that was just a surprise round. So back to the top of the round. You guys are still on the second floor. You can still move and act, don't worry. On the second floor, you can see all this happen out of the window. You've got the man hidden behind the furniture. Everybody else is on the second floor. What do you do?
I'm going to take out my sling, and I'm going to try and assist my buddies and earn back a little dignity after failing to damage that creature by fleeing the stone in its eye.
You do that from the second floor window?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And I also should mention, I did take a quick peek at the combat example. I don't think that the level bonus and stuff is added onto that. It's just strength and bonus to hit.
Don't worry about it. Keep going. Just roll.
Okay. Just roll. Gotcha. 1d20 coming right up. For Pete's sake. Dice roll is also acting up. There we go. Lucky 11.
An 11. And that is your total, or is that with the bonus?
That is the number on the die with
you
my...
You got it. Okay, so you hit. Roll for damage.
With pleasure. Two damage.
Okay. You strike it in its eyes. It's hitting the shin, irritated. Let's see, Kever, what do you do?
So I wasn't aware, I guess, that we were all on the top floor or the second floor, but that's okay because I'm going to charge this thing from the top floor. I'm going to dive out the window, boar spear in hand, and aim for his eye.
Mad respect.
Yeah, you can definitely get a charge attack for that.
All right. That's a +2 to damage, right?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Here's my attack. For Perrin Fall, oh boy.
Oh no. And it
That's a big 13.
You fall. roll d6 for damage. You fall 10 feet.
One.
You land in a mud puddle outside.
I tuck and roll.
Farenfall needs better protectors.
All right, Tog. And if you wanted to not go to the top floor, that's okay. You'd say you're on the bottom floor. It's up to you all.
Tog is going to say, somebody better get that man. I'm going to try to make sure that that monstrosity is blind. And they're gonna go, and from the second floor window is gonna shoot my Bianca into his eye.
Okay.
And see what happens. Yeah, that's a miss. Okay. So I rolled 3, and with 12, everything it's 14. Okay. So I missed.
Okay, Torgar.
I'm gonna jump down while he's being attacked, and I'll I'll run to the back of this thing and hit it right in the calf.
All right, yeah, you can move fast enough to get an attack from behind to add 2 to your damage, yeah.
What's that, 20?
You got a 20, it hits.
Yes.
All right. How much damage?
8 damage.
8 damage. You also cut open a wound in a calf, and it also howls. It seems to start to circle around. You notice that with its one big eye, it's having trouble trying to see all these little critters underneath its feet as it tries to track one of you down and smash this giant club that it has down at you. You all are maneuvering down under its feet as it slams down into the mud puddles nearby you, almost crushing you as it circles. Gladmood. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Also, a Torgar's gonna scream at him, "You will fall as it, like the tree before you."
Nice. Nice. Gladmood.
Yeah, just a crack and go to the other leg and smash its leg. I'm ducking underneath it, trying to stay right underneath it where it's hard for it to find me.
All right.
And I get a 13. I missed 13 after my plus 10. So
all right. And that brings it to the monster's turn. Gladmood has especially angered this thing. It's having trouble seeing you, though. It's going to try to make an attack.
All right. Let's see. My armor class is 18 with the plus 4.
It's going to use its giant club at a minus 2. That is 16 minus 2 is 14.
All right, it's a miss.
It slams the giant club down next to you as you try to slash into its leg again, narrowly missing you, and it's back to the top of the round with Om.
All right. Might as well do my adventuring duties and get down there. 10-foot pole arm out. I'm going to take a running leap at the creature and try and jab it in.
All right.
We're just going full Greek epic here, people. Like Ajax intended.
Yeah.
13 plus.
Okay, 13. Yeah, I think that's going to hit. Roll for damage.
Hutcha.
And you can add 2.
Oh, thank you. Just 6 damage, but that's still going to hurt him, at least.
It does hurt, you strike it near its face, and then leap off back to the muddy ground below, as this thing circles around and tries to swat you all like flies. Kever.
Well, I'm going to duck, roll out of the mud puddle, and I'm going to try to slide under this, taking a cue from Gladmule. As he knows how to fight giants, clearly, I'm going to try to roll under his legs and thrust upward with my boar spear into his soft bits.
Nice.
Yikes.
Nice, that hits.
24.
Yeah, roll for damage.
And the damage is going to be d8, but I also get a plus 4 to it, actually. So.
Is that a 12?
It's an 8, so yeah, 12.
Okay. Describe how you slay this thing.
Like I said, roll underneath him, and as I come, I'm a tiny guy, but as I come up, I'm going to thrust my boar spear straight up at a 90-degree angle into his soft bits below his kilt.
All right, you do that, it finally tumbles for a while, and then just like the tree, just like as Torgar said, it and falls back behind it and slams into the muddy ground behind it, dead. And both of the monsters that had changed thanks to the green skies have been slain. And the village elder, the surviving village elder Kale, comes out shakily. He smells unwashed and urine soaked, and he comes out shaking. He's like, I'm alive! I'm alive! I can't believe it!
You're safe now. What happened to these people?
Something changed. The skies turned green. My friend, Hubert, his face swallowed his other eye, and then his bones malformed, and he turned into this thing when the skies turned green. And then there's that thing. I had barricaded myself into the town hall with people who had survived, but it would enter the windows and doors and slide in through cracks and pipes, and once it was in a house, people would simply stare at it as it devoured them. I thought I was done for.
Well, you're safe now, but we've got to get you back to the village. Well, it's getting dark. I don't know. I look at my friends here. Are we going to stay the night here or try to make it back?
Just you know, to be sure, is there any other monsters that you noticed around, or that's it?
I think that's it. And he looks around. You can see the village burning all around you. There's nothing left in this village. It's burned to the ground. And so we'll skip forward here. You make the most prudent choice, you know, whatever that is. You are intelligent, brilliant, and elite heroes and adventurers. So, you know, whether you decide to camp or return to the ruined keep, you do so, and you return at first to disbelief. And then you escort these villagers away from their ruined home to the nearest town of Yggsburg in the Eastern Vale. And here the people of Emmisburg hail you as heroes. And they make their plans from Yggsburg with the county's help to rebuild after winter has come. And you are swarmed in Yggsburg with adventuring contracts and the promise of gold. And they give you 100 gold pieces. Now.
All in a day's work.
At the tavern, the Green Dragon Inn in Yggsburg, the survivors of Emmisburg swarm up to you with all sorts of gifts. Let's see. Roll a d6 for your gift.
Thank you. All right.
And I'll just bump up and down duplicates.
2.
A 2. One is a minstrel, and they perform a song for you on the spot, which the tavern tries to chime in and harmonize with, and it is a ballad of Om. And they sing a song in your honor. Kever, roll a d6.
It's quite a lovely tune. I'm a little jealous. You could say green with envy.
No one liked that joke.
Om will smile and nod to you. Pull out his diggeridoo, because I actually did purchase a diggeridoo. It's on the equipment list.
Nice.
I'll play a tune later for you.
So for Kever, a wealthy landowner their estate is just outside the village, and they think that you had saved its remains. And so, under obligation, during a conversation that you have with the landowner, they offer you another 50 gold pieces in thanks. Let's see, Tog, roll a d6.
Yeah, that's one.
A one? All right, I'm going to bump it. Well, actually, no, one. You receive all manner of praise from these people. Probably very uncomfortable for you. They just like, they're all humans. They just tower over you. They want to touch you and hug you and shake your hands and stuff. And
I'm just
nothing
gonna say
to steal,
like,
you know?
You know, like, gold would be much more appreciated, to be fair.
That's awesome. Let's see. Torgar, roll a d6.
Six.
A six. All right. Torgar, the surviving elder saw your mighty exploit, where you ripped open and leapt into the wound of this this horrible creature and ripped it out from the other side, this powerful warrior, and how you danced lithely with your axe underneath the feet of the giant. And he recounts your stories, and they sort of, you become a local legend on the spot. And the villagers resolve to build a stone statue of you when they rebuild their town in the town square. And let's see, Gladmood. I think I didn't
get it. A two.
Two, okay, so I'll bump that up. Gladmood, you speak with the surviving merchants and wares peddlers among them, and they agree, because the town was ruled by a council of elders, but the oldest people that survive in the town at this point are the merchants and wares peddlers and the owners of the marble mine, and that is what has made Emmisburg so wealthy, was the marble mine. And so they agree to bring you in on their deal and make you one of the town elders and a co-owner of the marble mine.
Well, that's a great honor. I accept. What can I do?
Nice. All right.
Where I've been there.
And that's everybody, right? Okay. So, and thus it is. So you have, you know, the people of Emmisburg shower you with thanks and praise and what gifts and promises they can offer at the Green Dragon Inn. But then it's not long before many in the crowd at the inn begin to approach you with the needs that they have of adventurers. And that's where it will end tonight. Mythic Mountains RPG is a private RPG play club that focuses on folk RPGs. Those of us that play folk RPGs are not beholden to rules masters on the internet, from big corporations, nor anything other than that which we agree together works best for our table. We buy games from passionate, independent creators that are at the cutting edge of role-playing games. Castles and Crusades, as well as Shadows of a Green Sky, are by Trollord Games. Music is by Offhulker, Tabletop Audio, and Brunaville. Details for the music, RPGs, and adventure are included in the description. We hope you enjoyed our adventure, and we hope you'll join us next time in the Vale.